Hello, my name's Dave Emery. Welcome to this third segment dealing with Jörg Haider, the so-called yuppie fascist of Austria. In our previous two segments, we dealt with, among other things, Jörg Haider's Freedom Party and its growth from surviving and freed Austrian members of the Nazi Party under Adolf Hitler. Of course, Austria was part of the German Reich, having been annexed in 1938. We took a look at, in addition to Haider's Freedom Party's growth from the Nazi Party under Hitler, we took a look at an address that was given by Jörg Haider to veterans of the Waffen-SS, in which he praised members of that organization. Among those in attendance was Heinrich Himmler's daughter herself, apparently in the post-war years still active in an organization called Stille Hilfe, or Silent Help, that aided surviving members of the Third Reich who had gone underground. We also took a look at not only some of the titular similarities, but also some of the substantive similarities between the contract on Austria of Jörg Haider and Newt Gingrich's contract with America. The program of Jörg Haider was termed the contract with Austria, and Gingrich's program, the contract with America, although, as I indicated in the first couple of segments, I am not suggesting that the comparison is anywhere near a precise one. I am suggesting that the comparison is an important one and a valid one. We have also taken a look at some similarities between other aspects of Austrian reaction and reaction here in the United States, and we're going to once again examine some aspects of Austrian fascism, or the fascism of Jörg Haider, currently one of the most popular political figures in Austria, and some of the patterns of American fascism here in the United States. In a previous series entitled Sons of the Gestapo, we dealt with an article from the Searchlight magazine from November of 1995, which discussed one of the methodological elements of German Nazism at the present time, that is to say, the Nazism evident in current Germany. I'm not talking about the Hitler period. This is a methodological element which provides for the infiltration of Nazi members into the police and military in order to acquire, quote, specialized knowledge and abilities in order to further the Nazi cause, obviously this involving elements of surveillance and terror against the Nazis' opponents. We are going to return once again to that particular article. We are going to read now from the Searchlight magazine from November of 1995. This article is by Andreas Fahs, F-A-H-S, a German anti-fascist. It's entitled Werewolf or Paper Tiger, The State of Germany's Nazi Movement. In this article, we're going to examine a segment of it which talks about, on the one hand, the German Nazis' program for infiltrating the police and the military and intelligence services, and in order to use the, quote, specialized knowledge and abilities, unquote, acquired thereby in order to further the cause of German fascism. We're also going to talk about the program of right-wing terror in Germany and also later a letter bomb terror campaign in Austria. Both of those terror campaigns have served to drive the public in the respective countries to the right. Of course, those countries being Germany and Austria respectively. In turn, it should be noted that the strategy of tension that we have spoken about in past broadcasts, in particular in connection with Operation Gladio in Italy, has manifested itself to a certain extent in Germany and Austria as well. In the strategy of tension, terror is used to destabilize the, quote, bourgeois, unquote, democratic state. In order to combat terrorism, basically democratic liberties are curtailed. This was one of the principal elements of the strategy of tension. It is evident to a certain extent in the Nazi terror currently going on in Germany as well as in Austria. And for those listeners who might be impatient with discussions of Eurofascism, rest assured that I am going into this particular broadcast in order to not only illustrate what is going on in Europe, but to highlight some parallels with what is going on in the United States. In a forthcoming series, we will be swinging back over to this side of the Atlantic. We will not only examine right-wing and fascist terror in the United States, but connecting links between the terror in the United States and what is going on in Europe. In the aforementioned Sons of Gestapo series, I advanced my working hypothesis that some of the recent right-wing terror incidents in the United States, such as the Oklahoma City bombing, probably involved some fascist elements within the government and some fascist elements within the paramilitary right. I believe that is also true in Germany and Austria, and beyond that, I have hypothesized about possible operational links between elements in Germany, Austria, the United States, and other countries with regard to right-wing and fascist terror and the resulting destabilization of democracies in those countries. Once again, from the Searchlight magazine from November of 1995, Andreas Voss, Werewolf or Paper Tiger, the State of Germany's Nazi Movement. We're going to hear here about Stefan Hupka, H-U-P-K-A, a German Nazi leader. He is head of the SRA, that's the Sozialrevolutionary Arbeiterfront, and they, again, SRA, Social Revolutionary Workers Front, and my German pronunciation is probably incorrect. Skipping down, we read, in Umbruch, U-M-B-R-U-C-H, the SRA's education bulletin for leaders, subleaders, and trusted activists, Stefan Hupka, a central SRA cadre, sets out clearly the dual strategy of the SRA involving infiltration of the state apparatus. Quote, known activists must get on with their normal political work, which is as necessary as ever. The others, however, should keep their distance from known rightist groups. They should not even identify themselves as nationalists. They should join the army and the police and see to it that they acquire specialized knowledge and abilities, unquote. The acquisition of this, quote, specialized knowledge and abilities, unquote, denotes the preparation of a new level of terror aimed not principally at foreigners and asylum seekers' hostels, but at, quote, politicians, journalists, intellectuals in various organizations who prove themselves stubbornly anti-national and pro-multicultural, unquote. What is set out here is essentially the, quote, strategy of tension, unquote, that has already begun in Austria with a series of Nazi letter bombings. Rieger, that's Jürgen Rieger, a German Nazi attorney, Rieger pointed in this direction as early as 1992 when, in an interview with ARD television, he proclaimed, quote, when the first reporter is knocked over, when the first judge is rubbed out, then you will know it started, unquote. The political foundation for the NF-organized werewolf organization is precisely this, quote, strategy of tension, unquote, according to which the bourgeois democratic state will be made to look weak and ineffective in the face of terror, coupled with the development of political and economic crises. It is a fact that this kind of strategy does lead towards the establishment of a, quote, strong state, unquote, whose attacks on democratic rights and increasingly repressive policies can be attributed to the need to react to such terror. The German Nazi terror onslaught of 1991 through 93, for example, enabled Helmut Kohl to toy publicly with the idea of introducing a state of emergency, which would have led to the curtailment of democratic rights. Similarly, the Austrian Nazi bomb campaigns have served above all to strengthen the electoral fascist Jörg Haider and his freedom movement and have made their demands for beefing up of the state apparatus and for increased spying on the population by the state a matter of public consensus. Ideologically, the Gemeinschaft and above all the SRA, which is based in East Germany, hark back to the fascist national revolutionary tradition during the pre-Hitler Weimar Republic with its mixture of radical nationalism and anti-capitalist, anti-system sloganeering. This form of anti-capitalism is utterly reactionary and focuses on only certain aspects of capitalist development such as monopolization, internationalization, and the role of finance capital. These aspects they link frequently, but not always, with anti-Semitic propaganda about, quote, Jewish capital, unquote. From the standpoint of the Nazis, in a situation of increasing social crisis and a future economic crisis, the objective and subjective conditions for broadly based nationalist and racist, quote, social protest from the right, unquote, are well and truly imaginable. And again, I think that in the United States, foreshadowing future broadcasts, an economic crisis and an increasing social crisis is an altogether likely possibility. And again, I think the operational paradigms that we are looking at here in connection with German and primarily in this series, Austrian fascism, apply equally well to the United States. Recall the aforementioned Sons of Gestapo series because I believe the same methodology is being used here in the United States. And beyond that, I have been convinced for some time that there are connections between the fascist terror campaigns in Europe and in the United States. And in future broadcasts, we will detail circumstantial evidence pointing in that direction. What we're going to look at next is an article in another issue of the Searchlight, this dealing with the bombing terror campaign in Austria and the possibility of links between the bombers and people involved either with the Austrian military and intelligence services and or police apparatus in Austria. Again, this is only a possibility. Recall, however, in that article that I just excerpted, the effect that the terror bomb campaign has had on the political fortunes of Jörg Haider, whom we have been speaking about, and recall also the tactic enunciated by Stefan Hupka of having Nazi Party members who are not known to the public infiltrate the military and police in order to acquire, quote, specialized knowledge and abilities, unquote. This foreshadowing a terror campaign against journalists, judges, politicians, etc. In the Searchlight issue of December of 1995, recall we were just reading from Searchlight from November of that year, there is an article entitled Bombers May Be Getting Inside Information. This deals with the Nazi terror bomb campaign in Austria. Letter bombs were sent to a number of politicians, and in the fall of last year, four Romani gypsies were killed in a booby-trapped bomb attack, which apparently involved a relatively sophisticated device. Again, this article is entitled, Bombers May Be Getting Inside Information. This from the Searchlight's issue of December of 1995. The article reads, suspicion is growing in Austria that the architects of the fascist letter bomb campaigns of the past 2 years are escaping capture thanks to information being passed to them by sympathizers inside the Austrian authorities. Although two Nazis, Peter Binder, B-I-N-D-E-R, and Franz Radl, R-A-D-L, are currently on trial in connection with the first wave of bomb attacks at the end of 1993, further investigations by the police and internal security services have yielded no firm clues to the identity of the perpetrators. Binder and Radl are both cadre of the jailed Gottfried Kussel's Volkstreue Außerparlamentarische Opposition, or VAPO, but the organization claiming responsibility for all but one of the attacks, which came in four waves and seriously injured 14 people, is the shadowy BBA. The BBA has admitted being behind letter bombings in Vienna and Klagenfurt, and the most recent attacks in Stransdorf, Poisdorf, and Mistelbach in October, when bombs were sent to a Syrian-born doctor and a 71-year-old refugee worker. Both victims were taken to a hospital. A third bomb sent to a Korean family was defused. In acknowledging its sinister handiwork, the BBA has used no fewer than four cover names: Graf Rüdiger von Starrenburg, Herzog Wadilow von Bayern, Andreas Hofer, and lately, Kampfgruppe Markgraf Gerold, G-E-R-O-L-D. Interestingly, the group has not so far admitted responsibility for the worst attack, the booby trap bomb in Oberwart in February, in which four Romanis were murdered, even though the construction of the detonators was identical to that in the earlier pipe bomb attacks in Klagenfurt. Excuse me, I was misremembering. That attack was in February, not in the fall of last year. The next section of this article that we're going to highlight here concerns some rumination in an Austrian weekly magazine called Profil that the latest bombs exhibited a degree of sophistication that had not been previously encountered in the Austrian terror bomb campaign. This perhaps indicating the possibility of the, quote, specialized knowledge and abilities, unquote, that was gleaned from infiltration of the Austrian police and or military and intelligence services by some of these Nazi elements. An excellent account of the story so far by Thomas Vasek, V-A-S-E-K, in the Austrian weekly Profil on October 23rd, revealed that the latest bombs were, quote, more professional and more menacingly constructed than in any of the previous attacks, unquote. According to experts, the most recent bomb was much more difficult to defuse. Also, the stamps on the envelopes used for the three October bombs had not been on sale for more than a year. A clue to the fascist German nationalist outlook of the BBA bombers is contained in the sender's name that appeared on one of the envelopes, Reinhold Elstner, E-L-S-T-N-E-R. Elstner was the 75-year-old German nationalist and Wehrmacht veteran who burned himself to death in May in front of the Munich Feldherrnhalle, a place imbued with militarism, in a protest at what he called in his suicide statement, quote, 50 years of monstrous slander, insult, and devilish treatment of German soldiers, unquote. Speculation is mounted about a possible Secret Service role in the still unsolved series of bombings, but there has been no plausible evidence to confirm such conjecture. So again, note, that at this stage of the game, the possibility of a Secret Service role remains conjectural and no more than that. However, I would not dismiss that possibility. Again, bear in mind the methodological element advocated by Stefan Hupka and other fascist elements in Europe of infiltrating the military and police in order to acquire abilities which would help them overthrow the democratic state later on. Continuing. The law enforcement agencies, under the control of Interior Minister Kaspar Einem, E-I-N-E-M, have checked more than 45,000 people, including every industrial chemist in the country, because the sophisticated nature of the devices suggests that the terrorists have a high level of scientific knowledge. The Interior Ministry has used scientific, linguistic, and psychological experts to produce a profile of the bombers who have reduced Austria to a state of paranoia. According to the BBA's own program, first outlined in a 28-page letter to Rudolf Meyer, lawyer for the accused VAPO Nazi Peter Binder, the group stands for freedom of expression for the extreme right, an end to immigration, repatriation of foreigners, and opposition to, quote, race mixing, unquote. The profile assembled by the bombers deduces that one of the bombers knows Binder, but that Binder, who remains steadfastly silent, does not necessarily know him. It says that the BBA has some kind of link to the legal system because its statements, especially on the trial of Binder and Radl, but also on other recent Nazi trials, indicates very detailed knowledge of the court proceedings. So again, note that the suspicion exists, and in fact, the linguistic and psychological profile drawn up by the Austrian Interior Ministry suggests some of what this article refers to as, quote, some kind of link to the legal system, unquote. And again, bear in mind the Hupka principle of acquiring specialized knowledge and abilities by infiltrating the police and the military and intelligence services, a possibility that I hold open in connection with the Austrian terror attacks. Returning to the article. Perhaps the most damning aspect of the profile is the suggestion that the BBA, quote, is informed, unquote, about the progress of the authorities' investigations and has had inside access to the inquiry documents. Einem conceded in an interview with Profil that the bombers might have a source inside his ministry, but attributed their good information to being more probably the result of leaks which eventually find their way to the bombers. This has only caused further speculation. For example, the tabloid daily Kronen Zeitung recently carried an article by a, quote, anonymous security policeman, unquote, which hinted that the bombers have the support of some military intelligence circles. This claim was angrily denied by the Army Chief of Staff, Karl Magen, M-A-G-C-E-N, who branded such suggestions as, quote, irresponsible, unquote. However, the bombers' extreme discipline and the use of internal military jargon in some of the BBA's letters claiming responsibility for the bombs does point at least to the likelihood that they have received training in the Army or may be reservists or even serving military personnel. One more time, this last sentence. However, the bombers' extreme discipline and the use of internal military jargon in some of the BBA's letters claiming responsibility for the bombs does point at least to the likelihood that they may have received training in the Army or may be reservists or even serving military personnel. Recall that in the past we have dealt with Nazi infiltration of the Vienna police, that also reported in the Searchlight magazine. That infiltration is considerable. We have also taken a look at Austrian security police's savage beating of Wolfgang Portscheller, an anti-fascist journalist who writes for, among other publications, the Searchlight and the Germany Alert newsletter that I also frequently use on this program. Portscheller was savagely beaten at the airport by a group of Austrian policemen, one of whom apparently serves as a part-time bodyguard for Jörg Haider, the focus of this particular series. We should note also that Jörg Haider, in an address to these Austrian policemen, praised the beating of Wolfgang Portscheller, saying that basically, occasionally, these, quote, leftists, unquote, need to be beaten up. So again, although Jörg Haider refers to himself as being similar to Newt Gingrich, and I think there are some instructive similarities in that comparison, please note again that his most inappropriately named freedom movement grew directly out of the German Nazi Party under Hitler in Austria. And Note also his kindly remarks to a meeting of Waffen-SS veterans. Note also his sanctioning of the beating of Wolfgang Purtscheller. Purtscheller, by the way, later was apparently the victim of an attempt on his life, although a person in a bar that he had been in who closely resembled him was instead shot to death by some Nazis. Please note also that this Austrian terror campaign has served to justify Haider's call for the beefing up of the state apparatus. It has also served to destabilize Austrian democracy to a certain extent, and many observers of the Austrian political scene speculate that the terror campaign was to a certain extent a product of the Austrian political switch to the right, that being engendered by Jörg Haider. We should note in this particular regard, with regard to the bombings, that the two people being mentioned in connection with them have been found innocent. Reading now from the San Francisco Examiner of Friday, December 22nd of 1995, we read in the World Dateline section the following article, Dateline Vienna, and headlined, "Guilty of Neo-Nazism, Innocent in Bombings." A court has convicted two men of neo-Nazi activities, but acquitted them in the 1993 letter bombings that injured four, including Vienna's mayor. Peter Binder, 28, was sentenced to 5 years in prison, and Alexander Radl, 28, to 3 years and 10 months. A jury found them guilty of participating in the neo-Nazi People's Extra-Parliamentary Opposition, whose leader, Gottfried Kussel, is serving a 10-year prison term. Binder has also been charged with making and sending 10 letter bombs 2 years ago. Radl, a law student, faced charges of inciting Binder. In December of 1993, Vienna's then-mayor Helmut Zilk lost three fingers of his left hand when a letter bomb exploded in his apartment. He had championed Vienna's small Jewish community and foreigners' causes, as did a priest and a TV journalist injured in the same wave of letter bombs. The jury acquitted Binder and Radl of those charges, and after many witnesses failed to show up, weakening the prosecution. Again, one wonders why those witnesses failed to show up. Were they intimidated either by Nazi elements in Austria, or perhaps by elements of the police and or military, or perhaps Nazi elements within the police or the military, hearkening back to the tactical element being advocated by Stefan Hübke. So again, I think with regard to the Austrian terror campaign, which has apparently grown out of the rising political fortunes of Jörg Haider, and which in turn has helped to boost those political fortunes still further, I think there is a very important question to be asked about whether perhaps that bomb campaign has in fact been aided, as some have suspected, by elements within the police and or military and intelligence services. And again, I think the Hübke tactical element needs to be very seriously considered. We should also note that the German fascist weekly Junge Freiheit, currently enjoying a large and rapidly growing circulation in Germany, is now opening up business in Austria. Once again, reading from the Searchlight magazine of December of 1995, we read the following, entitled German fascist weekly decamps to Austria. It reads in part, "The German fascist newspaper Junge Freiheit has set up shop in neighboring Austria, no doubt as a result of the increasing popularity of Jörg Haider, leader of Die Freiheitlichen, whose politics the weekly often promotes. Junge Freiheit is printed in the town of Villach in Haider's stronghold region of Carinthia. Its estimated print run is 15,000, although it claims a circulation of 70,000. The chief editor of the Austrian edition is Andreas Mölzer, M-O-L-Z-E-R, a longtime fascist and right-hand man of Haider. Mölzer, who recently was in dispute with his leader, has long figured as the ideological inspiration behind the strong, pan-German nationalist wing of Haider's, quote, freedom, unquote, movement. He is also one of the authors of the movement's political program. Although Junge Freiheit has a small staff and is the target of justified campaigns by anti-fascists, the publication, which aims to span the gulf between national conservatives and liberals on the one hand and outright fascists on the other, seems to enjoy reliable sources of income. Since mid-October, it has moved its offices from Potsdam to central Berlin and now has premises in the historic Mosse House, M-O-S-S-E, which has been completely modernized and renovated and for which very high rents are charged. Junge Freiheit will pay £4,500 a month for 185 square meters of accommodation." So again, note the decamping to Austria of Junge Freiheit, one of the leading organs in what in Germany is being called the Konservative Revolution, the exact same name that was applied to the reactionary movement in Weimar Germany, of which the German Nazi Party was the most extreme and most successful element. Please note that Newt Gingrich's political movement in the United States is also entitled the Conservative Revolution. I would also note, as we prepare to swing back to the United States in future segments, that I think there are many instructive parallels and, in all probability, direct connections between the fascism that is currently manifesting itself in Europe and what is going on in the United States. And I would suggest to members of the listening audience that there is a strong parallel, and although not necessarily a precise one, between the Spotlight magazine, that is basically a publication of the reactionary and some would say fascist liberty lobby, and the Junge Freiheit in Germany. Spotlight has been making an outright and overt attempt to appeal to more democratically minded and even leftist elements, despite the fact that the Liberty Lobby, its parent organization, has documented ties with Holocaust deniers and Nazi elements, and indeed it grew out of the Holocaust denial movement and neo-fascist movement of Willis Carto and Francis Parker Yockey, whose Imperium publication was in many ways the inspiration for Willis Carto, and which in turn has been promoted by Carto. We have been relying in considerable measure on the Searchlight magazine for our information this evening. The Searchlight magazine is available from, of course, Great Britain. Information as follows.
To subscribe to the Searchlight, a British anti-fascist publication, write to Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, or phone 011-4471-284-4040, or fax 011-4471-284-4410. That's the Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, phone 011-4471-284-4040, or fax at 011-4471-284-4410.
For further information in this field of research, I would also recommend that you access some of the archive shows available from Archives on Audio, a tape duplication service that has been stocking documentaries that I have been producing since 1984. Archives on Audio can be contacted at area code 415-346-1840. That's 415-346-1840. Their address is P.O. Box 17-0023, Box 17-0023. That is in San Francisco, zip code 94117-0023. Neither myself nor this station makes money out of this arrangement. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.